Okay.
There we go.
So,
yes.
With that, we will kind of kick the call off a little bit. I know we have a number of people here. So for all of you newcomers, first of all, I want to say welcome. Thank you for calling. We're obviously would love to answer any of your questions. We'll do some of that in the beginning, but also have the opportunity to do a lot of that in the end. To do a little housekeeping to start with, I will remind everyone that as you all are aware by this point, we have a bunch of people on the call, and to make it easy for everyone and keep out all of the background noise, we do ask everyone to mute yourselves for the beginning of the call. Later on, we will ask everyone to unmute to ask questions and things of that nature, but to mute, you can either press a mute button that is on your phone, or at any point in time, you can press *6, and that will mute your phone. To unmute, you can press *7 later on in the call, and when we open it up for questions, I'll again remind you how to unmute. But for now, press *6, and that will mute your phone, so we can hopefully keep this a very clean conversation and keep everyone focused on the information we have to share, because hopefully it is very valuable for everyone on the call. With that, I will ask if John is on the call yet, just so I know. Have you joined for us yet, John? Not yet. That's okay. However, I will go ahead and give everyone a bit of an introduction on LHON Live. This is now our, let's see, we did 12, something close to our 15th call. We do this monthly, the first Wednesday of every month. So congratulations to everyone for calling the correct number and making it here on time. We're really excited to continue doing this. We are kind of getting into a flow, but always love to hear feedback on the calls. If anyone on this call, whether it's your first time calling or you've been calling for a dozen times already, you're always welcome to email us to provide feedback, questions for future calls, topics you'd like us to cover, and you can send all of that to us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We take that right after this call is typically when we get some of our emails, but you can email that email address anytime throughout the month, and we're happy to take your advice. In addition, you will meet a new guest speaker tonight named John, who lives here in Florida, not too far from where I live. Exactly. We're hearing a little feedback from someone, so if you don't mind pressing *6, that will mute your line. We can continue moving forward. However, after hearing John share some of his story, if it sounds like something you'd be interested in doing later on, whether you are affected by LHON, whether you're a carrier, or just someone who is very close to people with LHON, we're always welcome to invite others to be a guest speaker, to share their stories, to share how LHON has affected their lives, and any advice or anything they want to share with the group, we're always happy to hear. In addition, later on, we'll open the opportunity to ask questions, and we encourage everyone to be vocal, and no need to be shy. However, if you'd rather listen, and maybe it's your first time, you're welcome to just hang out and kind of see how it flows as well. There are a few things when it comes to questions that we do try to keep off the table just because we're certainly not experts. We're here to provide a place for fellowship and provide a place for people to meet others who, may be going through something that they either know something about or would like to know something about. So we try to keep the conversation on what we are experts on, which is basically living with LHON. But we do try to steer clear of any kind of legal or medical advice, any kind of new learnings and research and things like that, just because we're not the experts and we hate to give great advice, or advice that's not great. So the only advice we really have for that is please speak to a medical or legal professional is really what we have to say there. With that, I will kind of introduce you to the three hosts we have. We take turns hosting LHON every month. I'm Andy Mark here in Florida. In addition, if you joined early, you heard our other two hosts, but I will introduce them to you now. Maria Johnson in San Diego.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, Maria. And Jessica Loomer is in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, everyone.
Or close to it. I think Scottsdale, maybe. I don't know. I'm probably making that up. anyway, with that, I will ask again, am I right?
Mesa.
Okay. With that, I'll ask if John has joined the call. John, are you here with us? That's okay. We will give John a few more minutes to join us. But we want to get started before too long. And if we have to, I'm sure we can hear from others this evening. But I will give you a little bit of John's story. I know last week, I think one of his nieces joined for the call. And I'm not sure if they're week. Is anyone from John's family on the call? Okay. Well, John is, as I said, from Florida as well. I'll give you a bit of his story. Obviously, we can. What I may do, if he hasn't joined yet, is reach out to him while we take a few other questions and kind of rotate the schedule of events to fill this time. But was that John who just joined? I'm just curious. If not, what we will do.
This is Joan. I just joined in.
Hi, Joan.
Hi.
And so right John. Now, I will give you a bit of John's story. He will hopefully be joining us before too long.
I didn't say anything when I joined.
Hi, would you like to introduce yourself? I heard someone speaking a little bit. If you do, if you're not speaking up to be heard, you can put yourself on mute at any point in time by pressing star 6 or just touching the mute button on your cell phone. Excuse me for coughing. However, I'll give you a little background on John. John actually was diagnosed 50 years ago, which is a little different story than a lot of the people we've heard from on here. So he's been dealing with LHON, living with LHON, and thriving with LHON for 50 years, since he was 11. And so a lot of stuff he will share with us this evening is just kind of how it's been a part of his life, how it is kind of how he does everything now. I know there are people on this call who have sons, young sons, who have recently been diagnosed, and a lot of what he has to share are kind of the tips and tricks and kind of what his parents did that he is so happy that they did for him, and some of those different tips. So we will delve into some of that after he joins. However, because he's not here yet, I will kind of flip the schedule on us a little bit and allow others to ask any questions or any topics that have come up this month in case we do have questions that people were planning to ask at the end of the call. If it's okay with our other hosts, I may allow them to start asking those questions while I reach out to John.
Absolutely.
So if anyone does have a question, feel free to unmute your phone by pressing star 7, and we can take some of those questions while I reach out to John right now.
This is Maria. If anyone has or even anything that they experienced this last month, you know, a funny story, you know, or something that they got in, you know, happened to them that they said, how could I have handled this better, or, you know, anything like that, it doesn't have to be a question. We would absolutely love to hear from any of you.
I'm
into it right now. I'm about done smoking.
And if you can star 6, if you're on the call, please star 6 to mute yourself if you're not going to ask a question so that we can have a clean phone call. Would be great because we do hear conversations going on, and when our guest gets on, it's just courteous to have a quiet call for him. So thanks a bunch.
Hi, this is Blake. I was wondering what the best cell phone is for this.
Hi, Blake. You know, I think the main phone that we all have, I'm not going to say everyone, is an iPhone. Apple products are incredibly enhanced with accessibility features for the visually impaired and also hearing impaired. But we all, or again, I'm going to speak for myself, but probably a lot of people here, we are able to use our iPhones through something called VoiceOver, which is an accessibility feature, and it allows us to use our phone by touch, and the phone talks to you on with everything you touch. I can use a phone and I don't even have to look at the phone. I can't see the screen, so it doesn't matter. But it is an incredible feature, and that is the way that many of us are able to stay connected through social media, texting, phone calls, voicemails, things of that sort. And what we've recommended in the past on this call is that you take a trip to your local Apple store, go and talk to them about an iPhone, or if you already have one, they can show you those features and, you know, make an appointment at the Genius Bar, or usually there's someone around that can help. And let somebody that knows something about it show it to you. I'd be happy to. You're from San Diego, right?
Yes.
I'd be totally happy to get on the phone with you at some point. I can actually talk you through a lot of it. But, you know, we always suggest go to the Apple store, talk to the, you know, professionals, and see what they can help you with. Android does have features, but it's just not used as much with the visually impaired or blind community.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I think I have responded, John. I haven't heard back yet. But I will go ahead and second, third, fourth, and fifth everything Maria is saying for everyone else on the call. The amazing thing about iPhones in general is that every piece of this visual impaired accessibility technology on the phone comes standard, which is the most amazing thing. A, it's great that you don't have to download any other software, but it basically means that it's already incorporated and syncs so seamlessly with everything else. It's what we would call in my company frictionless and seamless, meaning that, hey, it works very smoothly with all your different apps. And really it takes learning a few different gestures. You could go to any – you could actually just YouTube VoiceOver gestures, and it will kind of teach you the most common gestures. And as you learn more and more, there are more complicated videos to learn how to use VoiceOver. However, between using Siri, which I would assume you've heard of, and VoiceOver, iPhones are probably the most accessible technology that we use. There are obviously lots of other things we'd recommend for you, but when it comes to a cell phone, I'd have to vehemently disagree with anyone who recommended anything but an iPhone. And I'm not someone who has sold my soul to Apple or Macintosh like some of my friends have, but when it comes to blind accessibility tools, there's really nothing like an iPhone. So, of course, Blake, we'd all welcome the opportunity to talk to you more about this, but really I think an iPhone is the place to go. Do you have something like that yet? Or?
Well, I actually went to the AT&T store today to look at a new phone, and now I think that's what I will get. But does the VoiceOver ever get, like, really annoying? Do you... Because I tried it on my phone, which is not that, and I feel like it could get annoying.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are obviously personal settings you can change on the phone to have it speak at some places. There are places or settings you can have that would basically turn off the language that tells you where certain things are on the screen, but it will maintain all of the sounds and noises that basically at some point will translate in your head at least to meaning something without needing the additional language. There are also certain gestures, I think it's just a single tap with two fingers, that stops the language at any point in time no matter what it's saying. So once you learn some of those gestures that kind of just tell it, okay, I get it, it's not nearly as annoying, and it almost becomes something that you really benefit a lot from. I know we've had a few beeps, so I will ask if John has joined us at this point. John, are you here with us? Probably not. That's okay.
Andy, Andy, yeah. This is Maria again. I want to just equate one thing to voiceover is that, you know, I have a lot of friends that always say, what are you doing? You know, why all the swiping and tapping and all kinds of stuff on your phone and it's talking away? Again, it doesn't talk 24/7. It only talks when you need it to talk. But I kind of equate it to another language. You have sign language for the deaf. We have voiceover and gestures for the visually impaired for our phone. In the beginning, it's going to seem really daunting and crazy, but it becomes a second nature, and I think many people would agree. It becomes second nature. It's like you've learned a new language, and you will learn it, absolutely. So it's just going to be another thing you will be learning to help make life a lot easier and stay connected. That's the key. You know, if you were connected before, you can stay connected on every level and app and everything. So it's just you have to learn this new language, is kind of like I like to call it. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome.
Hello? This is Andy back. Sorry, I stepped away to give John a call and didn't reach him. But were there any other questions on this call while we wait just a few minutes? We will move on beyond this, but wanted to open and give others the opportunity to ask questions. Thanks for your question, Blake, by the way.
I have a question. This is Joan from Chicago, Illinois. I have been told that women who acquire LHON later on in life, and it happens because the hormones are dropped and things like that. And it's been told to us, because we have four family members that have been affected now, that maybe a low-dose estrogen therapy is helpful or preventative. Have you, anyone on the phone, heard anything like that?
This is Maria, and I actually was affected at the age of 49. And I have heard a lot about that. My sister is on a low-dose estrogen, so that her body thinks she never loses hormones and hopes to protect from the effect, if you will. But I'm going to turn this over to Lissa because she knows much more than me and can probably say it a lot better, and she may even be able to send you something, a link that can tell you a lot more. But, yes, it is recommended to try and protect yourself, but not everyone has to do it. It's optional, of course. Lissa, anything?
Well, I would just add on to what you're saying, Maria, which is Dr. Sadoun and the Italian research group did do some investigation on estrogen a few years ago, and they published a peer-reviewed paper about it a few years ago. And basically it indicates that that estrogen is supportive of people with mitochondrial mutations. So so Dr. Sadoun and Dr. Corelli, that group very firmly believes that part of the reason why men are affected 50% of the time if they carry a mutation and women are protected 10% of the time is because women are protected by estrogen. But then what that means is when we get to the point in time when our bodies lose estrogen, well, then our risk goes from 10% to 50%, and now we're like men, and that's what they sort of refer to it as. They sort of say, well, we become like men when we lose the protective benefits of estrogen. So as a consequence, the experts have said at the conference, you know, they do encourage their patients to, you know, talk with their OBGYN about estrogen. And I think the paper is up on the, in the Facebook group. I can send you the link to the paper. I can send you, they talk about it at the conference, and I have a little selection. Actually, I'll put the selection from the conference where they talk about estrogen. I'll put that up on the LHON Live link in the group. And you can watch the video there, but that's where they talk about it. And like I said, there's a whole paper on it, but yes, that is what they say.
Okay, this is Gail. I have a comment to make about that. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so my son Jason had some problems as of July, and Dr. Sadoun recommended that he start estrogen. And we had an endocrinologist from Hopkins monitoring it. He was on 4 milligrams, had to take aspirin for protection, did absolutely nothing, just stopped it because he did lose his vision in both eyes. So I don't know about the study. I know that was like an attempt to try to prevent the second eye from losing vision, but it did absolutely nothing. That's just my comment on it. Okay, that's
yeah.
It.
Well, and I think what's going
to
end up
there
happening
are side effects
is,
to it. It's not something you really want to be on for a long time, and they don't have much experience with the dosage. Because you don't want to go too high, the testosterone level drops, and it has to be monitored closely. So,
in terms of trying to rescue a male who's losing vision, you know, that's one set of circumstances. A different set of circumstances is a female carrier and, you know, what can she do? And again, every woman has to talk to her own OBGYN and do risk-benefit analysis. And, you know, some women have a risk of breast cancer and they might, you know, not want to, you know, increase their risk with hormone replacement therapy. Others may not have any particular risk, and so the avoiding the increase of vision loss risk from 10 to 15%, it's a big trade-off. So, Gail, what you're saying about your son is sort of a rescuing a guy losing vision is different, I think, from the question that was being asked about a female carrier and whether or not to do it. But, again, I think we're going way off onto the medical, which
right.
I know we
okay,
don't want to
sorry,
do.
Okay, sorry. Yeah,
so
I mean, I'm a carrier, but I'm not taking
right.
it for myself. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, which is a different question.
Just
but,
another
yeah.
comment yeah. about it. Okay. Sorry.
Right. And to the point, I know one thing they are working on is, you know, the estrogens that are available now, you know, are in vis-a-vis women taking it, and they're looking into phytoestrogens, which are sort of not natural estrogens, which men would be allowed to take, but that stuff they're working on, they're not there yet, and so it's a work in progress, I guess, is the answer. But I'll post that link right now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Melissa. At this point, I will ask, because I heard a couple beats, if John joined, and if not, I may stop dancing. John, have you joined us on the call? Okay. I don't think he's joined us, and that's okay. This is not normal for those of you who are here for the first time, but instead of stalling any longer and continuing to dance, we will take further questions at the end of the call. But if it's okay with everyone else, I think what we'll do now is I will kind of share my story in the same way that John would have shared his, and certainly take any questions from everyone. Rather than me having a conversation with John, I will have a bit of a conversation with myself, but with an audience. So sharing how I became a part of this community, what it means to me, and a bit of my story. Some of you have heard all of this before, but unless we have someone else on the call who wants to share their story, I think I'll go ahead and do that if it's okay with our host as well.
Yeah, go ahead, Andy, because okay. I think both Jessica and I have already talked about our story, so we
yeah.
want you to tell yours too, absolutely.
Exactly. So a lot of you may know this already, but my name's Andy Marks. I actually live in Florida, but this is not where I'm from originally. Not sure if you can hear my accent through my cold right now, but I'm originally from Virginia, North Carolina, grew up in North Carolina, went to school there, went to UNC, and graduated about 5 years ago now, at which point in time I moved to Florida. I actually work for Disney in Florida doing market research. In school, I studied psychology and economics, so it's very cool to me understanding just why people make the decisions they do, which is why a part of why, I mean, this whole community is awesome to me to talk to people and help people, which is why after becoming part of this community, I actually attended the second annual LA Chillin Symposium last year. So in 2014, I joined a big piece of this community in Pittsburgh, where I first met people who were also affected by LHON in June of 2014. So earlier that year, I will take a step back and start from the beginning. Around the holidays in 2013, I lost vision in one eye, and actually didn't realize it at first until I thought, oh, hey, my vision's gone south a little bit. Maybe I could use stronger glasses. I'm starting to actually have to, like, it takes me a second to see things at my desk. And so I was like, okay, I probably should just have a stronger glass prescription than I have, because I'd never really had strong glasses before. They'd always just been the bare minimum to help me at work, and that's the only place I ever wore my glasses. So I went to an eye doctor in the fall of 2013, at which point in time that had me measure the acuity in my right eye, and it was great. It was 20, 30, something like that. And they said, okay, now cover your right eye, and we'll do the same thing for your left eye, and we will measure the acuity in your left eye. So after closing my right eye, it became very apparent to me that I could no longer see the chart at all with my left eye. And we originally thought that maybe I was having a migraine onset, since I'd always suffered from migraines, and maybe something silly was going on. Some of the doctors thought maybe I needed visual therapy, some different types of things. Like everyone on this call and those who have recently been diagnosed, it may be a little more recent in your mind, but I went through a number of doctors, from an optometrist to an ophthalmologist, from an ophthalmologist to a retina specialist, from a retina specialist to a neuro-ophthalmologist, from there to an MRI machine. Eventually, I was told, you probably have LHON, but we'll send the blood work out. And it came back, we'll jump to the end of the story, and it came back positive. So I did know at that point in time I had LHON. And by that time, it was around February of 2014. So it had been about 4 or 5 months. I was getting used to things within the community, was really jumping into learning what I need to do, where my vision would eventually get to, because it hadn't quite stabilized yet. Started seeing different doctors, started signing up for services at work. And one of the first things I did, I reached out to this community, signed up at LHON.org. to kind of register there, which I recommend everyone do if you have not, kind of sent my information in there and quickly became a part of this community. Started monitoring the Facebook group. And one thing that became pretty obvious to me is that how wonderful this community is online, but it's even stronger in person, which is why in June of that year, so June of 2014, a few months later, I went to the conference in Pittsburgh that I mentioned a little earlier, my first time in Pittsburgh ever. And it was also my first time ever meeting anyone else with LHON. So there I met Jessica, I met Maria, I met Lissa for the first time. I shared my story with a number of you. It's actually available on YouTube somewhere. I think it has like 8 views. So if you'd like to double the number of views I have, you can watch it a few times. And so there I got to meet a whole bunch of people, and it became pretty obvious to the three of us, Maria, Jessica, and I, that the opportunity to talk to people and be a part of this LHON community is so powerful when you have the opportunity to hear your voices and share your stories daily and answer questions. And the thing that holds so many people back, or held so many people back for decades with this disease, is that they weren't able to ask those questions. The amount of knowledge that I've acquired about living with a visual disability in my 2 years is ridiculous, because I have all of these people and all of these decades of knowledge I'm able to tap into through Facebook, but also through these calls every month. So after we left that conference, we said, okay, I love being able to ask you so many questions here. I love you being able to teach me how to use VoiceOver and zoom into my phone, all of these things you can teach me now, but I don't want to have to wait another year to be able to benefit from these types of things again. So what we did is we said, hey, what we need to do is we need to set up a conference call. We need to have a podcast. We need to do something monthly that kind of gets everyone in this group, or gives them at least the opportunity to tap into this group, tap into this wealth of knowledge, ask questions, hear stories, and realize that, hey, what you're going through is just what everyone else is going through. And or even better, what you're going through is what this person already went through and has already learned from and has already has wonderful things to share with, share as a result. And so that's when we started this call, actually in August of 2014. And what we do each month, we have different guest speakers usually join us on the call and share a piece of their story and talk about things that may be unique to them. So, and then answer questions from the guest speaker, from other people on the call. And so I guess I'm happy to answer questions from other people about me, but we're also happy to answer other questions about LA Cho-En, about certain circumstances, because it may not be obviously apparent, and I didn't actually share this with everyone. I am 26. I turned 27 in a couple weeks, but I'm 26, and so I was affected when I was just about to turn 25. I actually had my left eye probably affected when I was still 24, and my right eye probably not until after I had turned 25. But so that's a bit of my story. I continue to work here in Florida. I live alone, which are some of the more unique things about me and how this disease has affected me and how I cope with it. But with that, I will open up the floor and allow other people to ask questions, either of me or of really anyone on the call, because that's really what this is for. For those who may be muted, I will remind you that you can unmute by pressing star 7, but we appreciate you being muted.
I've got a question on behalf of Blake and his mom, because I don't know if they mentioned that, Blake, I think you're 16, right? And what, I don't know what grade in high school you're in, but Jeremy was older when he was affected. Is there anyone on the call who was in high school or is a parent of someone whose affected person was in high school that has some ideas on how to, you know, get through school better?
I don't know if there are people on the call. I will allow other people to answer, but I do want to answer because that was one of the great questions I had for John, and I know his answer. So I will add that for you here. I know we were waiting for other answers. Are there people on the call who fit that scenario?
I was a senior in high school.
Just say that that's a very big question that I had, and
thank you for asking that.
This is Blake?
Yes.
I think someone said they were a senior in high school. If you don't mind just telling us your name.
I was, and I'm going to get a new phone. I've been listening. I wasn't going to say anything tonight because my phone is really bad, and I apologize for that. But I promised somebody I was going to get a new phone this week, and my concern was why I'm putting it. I'm Dave from Pennsylvania, and but I was a senior, and it was just, you can't write this story. I was actually at a school in Pennsylvania, Valley Forge Military Academy, and when I was there, they were filming a motion picture called Pat. But it was just, so much was going on. It was just a crazy, crazy situation. And but I'll have to tell you about it at some point when I get a better phone. But I may ask you a really brief question about the phone. May I ask you really quick about the phone? My fear of getting a phone, do you think there's somebody at a Verizon store that will be capable? I'm afraid of getting a phone home and not being able to operate it. Yes. So,
I mean, I think we can certainly give you instructions on how to get VoiceOver turned on. Do you know how to use VoiceOver at this point already, Dave?
I am a technological nitwit pretty much,
okay.
So if that answers your question. I don't want to take over the conversation.
You need to go to an Apple store.
Apple store.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd certainly either, if you have to get the phone from Verizon store, take it directly to an Apple store. They are more likely to be able to help you there. I will kind of let you know that not every genius at an Apple store, their word, not mine, knows how to use VoiceOver. However, they are going to be very accommodating when it comes to learning with you. So that's what I'd recommend. Because we can't hear you actually well, Dave, I will ask you to
share. Can I just say one thing to the senior in high school thing?
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
My suggestion is that the young man in San Diego just reach out to this community, because I didn't have any of that access at that time. It's kind of like the story, the funny guy, when he, you know, when they gave his mom or him a fluorescent, remember that story months ago on the call?
Yeah.
Right, Matthew.
I kind of had a similar situation because I'm 53 and this happened to me when I'm 18. But, I mean, I'm very thankful for you and everyone that you have this community and that you can support each other. And hopefully they can get some very good advice from you all.
Are there certain things, and you kind of touched on this, Dave, but because we can hear you pretty well, I'm speaking, I know, only for myself, but I'm assuming everyone else can as well. Are there certain things in your story or certain things you would say to yourself at 18, being 53, if you could kind of step back and tell yourself? Not things you'd necessarily change. I'm not asking
just
for that kind
simple,
of thing.
Real simple, I was a young 18-year-old guy that played sports, and I had the opportunity to go to Western Pennsylvania, to the Edinburgh High School, and I just didn't want to be stigmatized, and it was foolish. I was a young guy that lost my driver's license, and I had a future, well, not really planned out, that's not act, but, you know, I just wasn't part of the plan, and I regret not utilizing things that were there for me. I really do, but it was my age and just my, you know what I'm conveying. It was just my youth, and I wish I would have taken advantage of things that were available to me. Now, there wasn't even anything close that there is today. The opportunities are immense, and that's what I regret, not taking advantage of stuff. So
take advantage, kind of lean in, keep your head up high is kind of
I didn't want to go to this school. They were going to teach me things. I don't know. There was probably not a lot of technology, but just they might have taught me things that would have really simplified my life. And I'm assuming that. And I never took advantage of any of those things. And I've lived a very interesting life from a legally blind guy's point of view, I've been told. People look at me. And they all, everybody, you poll 100 people that know me, they say they don't view me as somebody that can't see. And the response is, that's a good thing. But in the next breath, they say, that's a bad thing, too. It's been a bad thing for me. Now, I'm very thankful. I have a decent job, and I've been very blessed in that. And if Marie or somebody sometime can give Paul's phone number to my sister because he's going to help me out with an issue at work, and I misplaced his number. I'll do that off the call, but I've been very fortunate in that respect. And, you know, as far as my employment, it took me years and years, but I noticed in the visually impaired community, employment is key, and, you know, the economy is dead as it is, and I just feel computer literacy is everything. Everything, and I kind of gotten through life without being very computer literate, believe it or not. So it's kind of a crazy story I have, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you sharing it. Are there others on the call who may either
UNC guy? UNC guy?
Yeah, that's me.
Just really don't want to take over this conversation, but. There's somebody you met in Pittsburgh and probably in D.C. understanding that we have a cousin that won a national championship at your alma mater.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Anyway.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing, Dave. But is there anyone else on the call who either was around that age or whose family member was around 16 or maybe anywhere really in high school when they were affected, and advice they would give to someone in that situation? With that, I go ahead.
I was very angry too. I have to be honest. I was very, very angry about it, and you know, I got through it, and I count my blessings, and you know, it's called life. You know, we all get hit by different things, and just listening to some of the people that have contributed to these calls as yourself, I find it very inspiring, from Jessica to her running to Maria to, you know, teaching, you know, at her gym, and just everybody from A to Z. I find it very, very inspiring, and it's I don't know, that's inspiring to me, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it can be really uplifting, and that's kind of the purpose of these calls. I will kind of share that I don't know that John's joined us, but he was affected. You can speak up if you have, John. But John was affected when he was 11. So he was even younger than you. And one thing that he has told me that he is very grateful for is the independence that he was supplied by his family. They may have been two steps away watching, but they really allowed him to find his own and attack life in the way that he wanted to, find the hobbies that were going to be his. And in some ways, I know people who would say that they were affected younger than I was. I was affected at 24, 25. And because they were affected younger, they were able to kind of plan out their lives knowing this about it. And in some ways, they are very grateful for that. And they were able to pick courses of study and become very computer literate even before they reached college. And so I think the fact that Dave mentioned technology is really important. Not that every 16-year-old isn't more computer literate than everyone else in every other kind of generation that's ever existed, but that's really something that's going to be really important to you, Blake, probably, and to others that may be your age or recently affected. Is really finding those things that are going to define you in the future. Dave mentioned that Jessica actually has taken up running. Both Jessica and I were CrossFitters before losing our vision, but while I do a little swimming from time to time now, and she runs a lot more than I swim, Jessica's actually looking forward to her first marathon, looking forward to maybe a stretch, but she's getting ready for her first marathon.
Does she with a runner, with someone with her?
Yeah, she runs with guide runners. And Maria, as Dave said, Maria actually teaches fitness lessons in front of a class. So she did that before she launched her vision, and she continues to do that with the help of other people kind of controlling the music. But otherwise, with the help of a few DJs, she teaches her own classes. So really, it's finding those things that you want to do with your free time and also mastering technology. I think that's advice that everyone here would have for you. Those hobbies, I'll be the first to tell you, they can be hobbies that you had before, but they don't have to be. There are a lot of great hobbies out there that may be hobbies that you enjoy now that you may have not before or didn't even know about before.
Did I hear Brody, are you on the call?
Yeah, I was
Brody is on the call.
because Brody, I think, Blake, you're a hockey player, aren't you? And Brody, aren't you also a blind hockey player?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just going to mention that after Andy was talking. I don't know what organization or if it's National Federation of the Blind. Up here it's the Canadian National Institute of the Blind. But get through, because here in British Columbia, I live on the west coast of Canada. Here we got BC Blind Sports. It's an organization that all year round they have different members and different coaches. And people that played this, played that, and you know, coaching this, coaching that. And, so I'm involved in blind hockey. And, actually, this year, for the last couple of years, there's Courage Canada, and then we had six teams nationally wide and some teams from the States, and we had tournaments back east in Toronto in the springtime, and we're looking forward to that this spring. But now, this year, we just formed it now the Canadian Blind Hockey Association, and I think the States, the America down there is following us too, and we're going to get it up and going. We're going to go to Europe and hopefully get the European teams, hopefully Denmark, Slovakia, Finland, Sweden, I think Russia too, and we're going to hopefully get that and get on the go with the Paralympics hopefully in the next couple of years here. But yeah, definitely get involved or get in your local area, see what kind of institute has the BC, like, or the blind sports that has the organization, or there's the Courage US A site. I'm not too sure exactly what that website is. Maybe I can get Listen to help me with the link, but they can get involved with that, and they're really big on that. They need, you know, they always encourage, you know, players to come try it out even, and then they'll even help you out with maybe getting in the, you know, your local area and trying it out. And I've never played hockey at all really competitively. I always used to skate my life and all that. I was affected when I was 25, and I'll be turning 29 at the end of this month. It's around the same age as around with Andy. But, it's an awesome, good camaraderie. There's girls, there's guys. The youngest player we have on our team is 20 years old, and the oldest player we have on our team, I think, is 58, which is still young, but different, you know, levels of vision also. And I know another fellow back east he has Liebers too, and he's the one that formed the Courage Canada. And what he did is, I think back in 2009, he roller skated from East Coast all the way to the Maritimes and through Canada all the way to BC, kind of like what Terry Fox did, raised money and got this tournament going on. So we have something to look forward to every year. So thanks to him, it was inspiring. I saw a documentary actually about him. That's kind of what got me involved, and called my local institute that had it. And so, yeah, that's the second season for me this year, and I love it. Every Friday I look forward to it. So definitely try it out, Blake. It's definitely same thing as the hockey, you know, regular play. A little bit rules. There's different classifications. There's B1, B2, and B3. B1 is like 5% of vision or totally blind, and they're usually goalies or defensemen. Then there's B2, which is, I'm in that classification. That's about 10% or 20% of vision left. And I'm a defenseman, so, or forward. And then, there's B3, which are, you know, just legally blind. They can still, you know, see pretty good, but, you know, they can't drive and read the eye chart. So with that, yeah, no, it's good. So yeah, if you can definitely look into that, you know, you said you play hockey. I think someone said that. So yeah, definitely check it out. So it's pretty cool, actually. Even if you want to check it on YouTube, our team is Vancouver Eclipse, or if you just type in blind hockey, I think there's a couple links there. And the puck's, it's like a sheet metal puck, probably about 4.5 inches diameter, about 2 inches thick, and has ball bearings. And it sounds kind of like a cowbell, so it's, you know, it gets it dinged up pretty good, but it flows on the ice pretty good. So, and you can track the puck by the hearing and stuff. And we're working on a prototype too. It kind of sounds like a smoke detector, which is kind of annoying actually, but. Yeah, there's some prototypes here, and yeah, we're just it's growing each year and each year. Like we were just last April, the Vancouver Canucks, we played with their alumni team, and I got on the news there, the global local news channel there, and a couple other guys got on with CTV, CBC, and all the stuff, and we're just getting it out there, right? So actually today I went and got my ice skate sharpened for this next Friday's practice, and I was talking to a guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, I saw you guys on the team or on the news. And, yeah, so it's all about getting it out there, getting publicity and getting a sport. And, yeah, so hopefully we get it to the Paralympics in the next couple of Winter Games here. So that'll be good. But.
Hi, this is Blake.
I said
I play hockey, and thanks for saying that. That sounds super cool. Briefly explain just like how it works, just playing like.
Yeah.
I know. Just briefly explain how the game works, being blind.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, there's different classifications. So, like B1, he kind of stands in front, usually a defenseman, and stands in front of the net, like, you know, screening the goalie. But same rules. Obviously, you know, we can't, you know, stop, you know. Running into each other in contact, but like, you know, you can't, you know, body check people on the boards or anything like that. Full gear, obviously, full cage. The puck, it's metal, steel, it makes noise. And then there's a little bit of different rules with, like, say, if I'm going into their zone, when I pass the red line usually, but when I pass the blue line, I have to pass it. I can't just go in there and shoot. And we usually have a referee that's volunteering sighted. And he has a little beeper. So when I go in there, say, you know, I get the puck. If I didn't pass past the blue line first, there has to be a pass before I shoot or anybody gets to shoot. And then so it's like I have to pass, and then the little beeper goes on. So it keeps the other defenseman on the other team kind of where it's going to be ready to shoot, and then the goalie too. And then it's just a little fair that way. Then on the net, there's like a little bit of a blocker. It's just good for, like, because the goalies are usually on their knees and stuff. So if there's a little bit of a blocker on the top half of the net, not too far down, actually, maybe just about a quarter or half of the net. And then it's good for blocking for the goalie, so it just makes it a little fair. And then no slap shots either, just because that puck's pretty heavy when it gets cold. And then, when I first started last September, I was just like, I didn't even know what to expect or nothing. Like, I had my full gear on and all this, and I go out there, and I was kind of standing in my zone, like, you know, as a defenseman, like, not really going out there as much, because I was, you know, like, with the light, it's just, like, even going out daytime, it's so bad for me. It's like going into, you know, a big, you know, 7-Eleven store or something. It's really bright. So, like, it was just, you know, now then, you know, I have my face shield, and it's all fogging up, and I'm on the ice, and, you know, just doing as much as I can, you know. It's not going to be, you know, a perfect game. Everyone's kind of, you know, going around, you know, but once you get used to it, you get, you know, the flow of it and you keep on going, and then you get communicating is a big key too. And then, no one's out pushing their stuff. It's just, you know, a friendly game and stuff. And we have 18 players on our team, girls. We have two girls and 16 guys, and, we're just trying to have a good time out there. It's nothing like we're killing each other out there or anything like that. But sometimes the guys get pretty competitive out there. I was out there the first couple of times, and I was like, hey, you guys, I don't know, you guys are, you know, getting pretty good. It's like, you know, you guys, but a lot of the guys on there played hockey all their life, so that makes a difference too. And then there's, like, you know, guys like me where I just, you know, been, you know, skating all my life. I didn't actually play hockey. So we get on there, and, you know, it's just, you know, and then you talk with the guys and get to know them, and it's, you know, it's, you know, same trash talk and same smell, like my buddy Mark said on the one of the interviews, right? But, yeah, no, it's pretty good. Like, it's, like as you said, you played hockey before. I don't know if you can get on the in your local area, see if there's a team or some kind of thing going on. Or if not, what you can do, because there's a lot of people that are in, like, Central Canada, because there's most, the West Coast and the East Coast have teams, but in Central Canada, there's nothing too big, serious going on. So the guys, what they do, they still go to this tournament. So you could even still come to the tournament next March, or, like, this next March. And, like, these people, they, like, you don't even have to have that much experience at all. I didn't even know what to expect. I was like, oh, I have to try out, or what's going on? And it's just all a big friendly game. And you meet even more people with different visual impairments and, you know, different stories. And I've met so many different other people. And, yeah, it was a pretty good experience, actually. So even looking to that, I think if it's on the Courage US Canada, or if it's on the Courage Canada site or the Courage US site, and there's really good guys on there, and they'll get in contact with you, and you can even get set up if there's not a hockey team around your local area, you know. Maybe get some local ice time, you know, get practicing and whatnot. Maybe get them to set it up with the puck with you, and then you get used to the puck, and then you could either easily definitely go to the tournament. So it'd be nice in March. I think it's March 11th to the 13th, and it's in Toronto, Canada, and they fly out there and all that stuff. Or I'm not too sure exactly what's the protocol on that, but yeah, I know it's a good experience if you can call it that too. So, but yeah, I know. Anything else?
Yeah. That hearing that, that's so awesome to hear for me.
Definitely come check it out. So
to know that, and I'm watching videos right now.
Yeah.
It's the Canada Courage League, and like,
yeah,
it's pretty, like, they can, like, puck handle and pass and shoot and, like,
oh yeah,
I wouldn't watch this and be like, wow, these guys can't see, like, it's just,
yeah,
very normal besides the puck
for sure. Yeah, no, it's definitely, and then you get the hang of it, right? So, you know, as much as I can only see the puck if it's coming out about 4 feet in front of me, and then I'm looking way up to the sky, or, you know, using my peripheral. But a lot of it, I'm using my ears. Like, you just got to, I don't know, once you, I've been, you know, dealing with this now for 3 years, and you can quickly keep it, like, you know, pick it up with your other senses and stuff. And just, you know, like, you know, I look at my stick, though, and I'm like, holy crap, like, I'm at the heel end, you know, shooting where I'm, you should be shooting at the, you know, where the tape is, and just that kind of stuff. And, you know, everyone, you know, it's just, no worry. I feel like I'm, like, you know, because, you know, I go out there in the real world and I'm always stressed out about this, or having anxiety about running into a fence or something, you know, whatever. You go out there and you have full gear on, it's just, you feel like you're invincible. And, you know, there's other guys, and you just tack your sticker on if you're going out for a skate around the rink or getting out there. But it's just, you know, everything, you know where the, you know, boards are and stuff, and it's just, you kind of feel free, and so you just skate around, get the wind blowing through the, you know, face shield, and it's just, it feels good out there. It's just a different thing, and, you know, always keep active and stuff too. Keep in mind, you know, pure and calm and all that stuff, and, yeah, get exercise and all that's a big key too, and, you know, all that stuff. You know, I'm going to school now too, and, you know, doing the hockey and whatnot, and just keep active. That's all I say. So,
yeah, because I'm a very active person right now.
That's good.
So it's hard too for some stuff. One thing, I still have vision in my left eye, so my vision
is
still fine, and so I can do everything. But one question. So I've heard it said before, but do you notice that your other senses get, or especially hearing, gets a lot better?
Like, I don't know, personally, like, nothing crazy or anything like that. It comes in waves for me, actually. I don't know, like, some kind of smells and different kind of hearing and stuff. But Yeah, it's different. It's nothing like crazy or anything like that, but definitely heightened a little bit for me, for sure.
You want to use it a lot more?
Yeah.
The way I would answer that question, Blake, principally, and the way I've heard it answered before that I kind of really thought was a good way to describe it is that, no, my hearing and my taste and my smell probably didn't get stronger, but when you're not paying attention to your vision and when you're not distracted by visual cues, you do pay more attention to those other senses, and it allows you to maybe notice things you wouldn't otherwise notice. So, like, like if you were to close your eyes at any point in time, you have greater hearing all the time when you're not distracted by those types of things. So you do learn the power of your other senses more after losing your vision because you have to rely on other tools. So I don't know if there are other people who want to kind of provide some insight on that question, but that's kind of how I've heard described and the way that I think is most accurate, at least for me. This is Andy again, by the way.
I believe undoubtedly I have a unbelievable sense of smell. And I can be around, like, everybody that I work with, all the males and that I'm around, nobody can smell what I can smell. It's like, I'm convinced of it. But I've had it my whole life, you know, pretty much, so.
And this is Maria, and what I find, especially in my classes, you know, I have my gym members and things, and honestly, I don't know who's in the class, but I can tell the smell because I can smell certain perfumes, certain other, like, just people just smell a certain way, which is weird. But also, you will start to rely on voices, and you will start recognizing people by their voice and probably, you know, probably body shape, maybe, you know, something they're wearing that particular day, but probably by body shape. So I can actually have someone start talking to me, and if I kind of notice they're tall and thin or short and curvy, I can pretty much figure out who it is. But, you know, it takes a while to get in the swing of that, too. Going from visual to audio is a huge change, and it's tough. But you will start to pick up the tricks, if you will. Voice, what's the body shape? You know, maybe someone wears a certain cologne or perfume. I actually said hello to somebody. They go, how'd you know it's me? I go, because you smell the same every day. So, you know, it's little things like that, but it's huge for us. Because that's a way that we can be out in the world and or in school, like you, in school, friends, hockey team, you'll start picking up on their voices more so than you do now because you just look at them. You just know it's them. Well, you know, if that is not as available, then it's going to be the voice. And are they tall? Are they short? Are they, you know, heavy? Are they skinny? Those things. That with the little vision, you know, that I have, I'm able to use that. But as far, you know, so as far as that hearing goes, it's not only hearing it, but it's recognizing it to help you know who, what, where, what's going on. And I find that if I hear something in one side of my house, I actually look towards my right ear, say, if I want to listen out of my right ear, I kind of look towards my right ear like I'm thinking. And I feel like I'm just honing in with my right ear and trying to figure out what that noise is. Or if it's on the left of me, I hone in. You just find it's like you hone into it. And, you know, then you get very quiet and you listen to figure out what it is, you know. It's kind of a game in a way if you think about it. But it's not a game we wanted to play. But, you know, hey, you have to come up with other ways to figure out your surroundings and environment and the people around you and things of that sort. So that's my two bits on the hearing.
Yeah, I'm not going to cut our answers short at this point. We are right at an hour, so I do try to remind everyone that it is 9 o'clock or 6 o'clock on the Pacific Coast. Just in case anyone does have to jump off the call, I do want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for calling and remind everyone you can always email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. Our next call will be December 2nd at 8 p.m. So I wanted to get that in before others started to hop off. I know a couple have already hopped off, but I think someone was beginning to speak up. So feel free to continue answering that question or answer other questions. Go ahead.
2 seconds. I can tell who's walking down the hallway at work because I can tell, I can hear the person's gait. I can actually tell who's coming down the hall before they get there, before anybody can see them, because of their stride.
I mean, you can also tell, like, who is even walking around your house. Is it a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad? I can tell by their, you know, bare feet, footprint, you know, just walking. I know who it is. So it is. It's just, it's those little things that you never paid attention to before, but you find you start to because you might need to. And the other thing I wanted to quickly mention is there are lots of organizations, and I'm just speaking for San Diego, that are very helpful. They do have youth programs. They do have Challenge Athletes Foundation, which is for adapt sports. Other organizations that do offer clinics, sport clinics, and things of that sort. I know there's a Center for the Blind up there in Vista, but I know they have a youth program down here towards La Jolla. And those are the people that are able to give you a lot of information as far as Department of Rehab, which is your services for the blind, which he qualifies for, to be able to get things he needs for school and things of that sort. So just know that there are we're very lucky to have a lot of organizations and centers here in San Diego.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Do you go to, what high school do you go to, Blake? San Marco? Is it San Marcos High?
Yeah, San Marcos High.
And what, are you a junior?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool.
Hey, Blake, it's Brody here, the hockey guy. I'll give Alyssa my contact information, email address and stuff if you ever need to reach out to someone or ask about hockey or anything like that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Along with that, this is Maria. Lissa has, you know, a huge database of people that that she can recommend when you're ready, Blake, or anyone on this call, really, either you're a carrier, a mom who's a carrier, or a dad who has a child, you know, anyone. You know, if you really need to talk to somebody, of course, the Facebook pages are always there, but if you don't feel comfortable reaching out there, you can always reach out to Lissa, and she can get some folks in your area, age, you know, gender, things of that sort for you to connect with. And never be afraid to ask for that.
Yeah, my mom already did that, she said.
Good, good. Love it. Awesome.
She said.
Hey, guys, thank you. I know it's been a bit of the Blake call, so we appreciate all the help with this. You guys are
that's
really
all good.
Helpful, and it's comforting to hear all this. Thank you.
Well, I love it that Blake spoke up like the first one. He's like, I'm in. What do we talk about? Which is awesome because, some folks don't have, the courage to do that, and I'm really, really glad you did. You know, it's great.
Yeah, I have good questions.
Yeah, well, this is the place.
Yeah, and Blake, and for others as well, I mean, this is obviously one way to ask questions. There are tons of other ways to ask questions of this group throughout the month. So it sounds like you have lots of kind of information, but don't feel the need to wait until December 2nd to ask these questions again. However, we're happy to have as many Blake calls or other calls with anyone else's questions every month. So don't ever apologize for asking questions on these calls. That's why we do this. So I know this may be your first call, but it's never too early to ask your questions. So.
All right, thank you.
Of course. Before we do wrap up, are there any other questions from others? We are just over the hour, but I will take another question if there are others out there, or even other people who haven't spoken up yet who want to introduce themselves. I know we did some of that in the beginning, but I'd love to know who else joined throughout the call.
Hello,
yes.
My name is Michael from Canada.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, Michael.
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Is this your first call?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome.
So as an expecting father, I just wanted to know, I know some of you are parents. Is there any way, or do you have any advice for someone who is expecting their first child?
So are you affected, Michael, or?
Yes.
Okay. Are there people out there who want to answer that question about expecting a child while you may be affected by LHOM? I don't know that we have any on the call who have children. I don't know if Jim is still on the call. He may have children, but...
Wayne, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
You okay. Got any thoughts?
Well, I don't know. That's a long time ago. That's 32 years ago. But, yeah, I was affected in 1979 and 21, and 2 years later, had my first child. Have two children. Now they're 32 and 28. And I don't know. I wasn't expecting a question. But I don't know. I just went with the flow. I worked. I had a job. We had kids, and I ended up staying home, being a stay-at-home dad, and brought up my two kids while my wife worked, and, you know, walked them to school, and got them ready in the morning, and went and picked them up, at least at elementary school, and...
Michael, there's another guy named Michael Patelis, and he talked at the most recent conference. And Maria, he talked a little bit about, you know, being a dad with kids, didn't he? I think.
Yeah.
Michael, are you on the Facebook group? Because I can put that clip up in the group too. Are you in the Facebook group?
Yes, I am. I'm in all three.
Perfect. So I'll just put that clip up there with Michael because I know he's talked a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Michael has two sets of twins or something like that.
Hi, it's Jeff.
Thank you.
I think just a daughter and a son, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I remember I had this conversation with Locke Mulholland a long time ago because he had very young kids, and he's been affected a while. And then I don't know if Lisa McGregor is on, but she was affected 12 and a half years ago, and she was affected when her son was three. And I think she did an amazing job incorporating her son into helping her without really making him know he was helping her. Is Lisa still on?
I'm still on, yes.
There she is. She has told me plenty of stories. We've talked for hours and hours and hours, and she's told me some wonderful things about when her son Cole was young. Here she was losing vision, and she had a toddler. So, Lisa, would you have any advice for him?
Boy. really, basically, what I did, because I had when it all started, I had a 2.5-year-old son and a 12-year-old stepson, and I really had no other choice but to continue on and be a mom and make things as normal as possible. Little did my youngest one know that I was actually teaching him the alphabet at a young age and how to read things. Because 12 and a half years ago, I didn't have technical aids like today. So he basically was my eyes and would read things to me. And even to this day, you know, we joke and I'll say to him, Cole, can I use your eyes if I'm too lazy to go get my Amigo, which is a magnifier, to read something? And he'll do it for me. I hope and pray that somebody up above has just picked me to be the lucky one to have LHON and lose my vision, and that it does not happen to my son. But if it does, I hope I've shown him, you know, this time in life that you can still go on and still be somewhat normal, and, you know, life still can go on and there are different ways and challenges, but you manage with what you have. I do all the cooking, I never used to cook. My husband used to do all the cooking. And when I lost my vision, all of a sudden I had no choice. I was home all the time, and I taught myself how to do it. I didn't have the mobility training and all that kind of stuff. But I learned, and I have to be very honest. What you said, Marina, is very sweet of you. But I just went on for my kids and mm-hmm. my family. I didn't do it for me. I did it for them. I wanted to prove to them, and I think to myself, that it didn't matter that I had a vision disability. I can still go on, and I can still do pretty much everything that I used to do, with the exception of driving. But life can still go on, and you can still participate in all that you want to do. Might be a little more difficult, but there are ways.
Thank you very much. Especially, I have more of an interesting question, but do you find your kids had, like, an understanding growing up and had, like, an empathetic, like, do you find they knew what was going on at a young age, or?
Yes, absolutely. I would say my youngest son especially, my stepson kind of lived with us 50-50% of the time, so it was kind of on and off, but my youngest son, absolutely. He is probably the most caring, sympathetic young man, and you can tell I'm a very proud mom, but he gets it. So, yes, I think in a lot of ways, you know, he saw the real mom when those days were really awful and I was in tears. He wanted to know, why is mommy crying, right? Well, mommy's frustrated because she can't see something. So he would sit down and actually describe what I'm missing out and what I'm seeing. So they adapt very, very well, if you allow it.
So you're very open with it then?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. That was great.
I think
I'm going to now document November as the month that Lisa gives amazing advice every year. So you have to call next November as well, Lisa.
Thanks, Andy.
For those that weren't here last year, Lisa taught everyone how to cook last year.
Oh.
I haven't mastered that yet, but
maybe it was a grilled cheese sandwich, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can still do a grilled cheese sandwich, Wayne, yes.
Real quick, just to close on that, yeah, there were actually 3 of the 6 men speaking at the last conference had kids. We had Matt Raja, Matt Prey. You have to, I put the video link up, and you'll be in stitches when you watch the last speaker of the 6. So, yeah, you've got 3 of the guys on there are talking about, you know, being dads. So I'm sure when you watch that, there's some good thoughts, tips, and insights. And then there's also some material from the it's called like the American Printing House for the Blind or something like that. And I think they have, it's DVDs as well as a book format. But they have something called Parenting with a Visual Impairment, Advice for Raising Babies and Young Children. So I don't know if it's helpful, but I put the link up for you.
Oh, that's great.
I have a funny story when my daughter was born.
Sure. We'll take a funny story.
I was at the hospital, and there was a baby boom. There were about 16 babies born, and they used to, at night, the majority of them were in one room, and they were in bassinets that were on wheels. And because of liability, you would not carry the newborn to the room. You would push them in this wheeled contraption. Well, 14 of the babies had no hair at all, and only 2 of them had hair. Well, I went in to push what I thought was my daughter back to the room, and I just pulled out with the wrong baby. And the baby happened to be an Asian baby, a matter of fact. So when all these people were looking and oohing and aahing over all these newborns, I recall them saying, "Oh, what's that reserved parking there for that sitting baby?" And that was my daughter, so... It was, they had a big sign in there. I had a reserved parking spot for her. But I guess as a new father, I was kind of paranoid, you know. I didn't want to stick my face in real close. But anyway, I figured it out. I would have never expected that question tonight, but I recall worrying about the temperature of the bottle, you know, and being visually impaired, not being able to judge how, you know, what the temperature of the milk was. And, boy, I can't even remember back that far to tell you how I figured it out. But I made Did it you happen. Return the baby? Pardon me?
You'd be arrested nowadays.
Well, thank God, somebody in the hospital knew me, and the other parents weren't around, so it played out very well. It was very, very fortunate. But, you know, some of us don't look like we have a vision problem either. So,
yeah.
So it had a happy ending, thank God.
With Michael, really quick, Matthew Prey, who is on one of the video links that Lissa is putting up, he's the hilarious one. He is a new father for the second time. He has, I believe, a six-week-old. He's a four-year-old and a six-week-old. So if he was somebody to ever want to connect with, he would make it so funny, but at the same time serious about how he is, you know, just recently, because he wasn't affected when his first daughter was born, but he now has this son, Carter. He could probably be very open and candid about how he manages this baby, because his wife is the one who goes to work, and I think maternity leave is about over, so it's going to be Matthew handling it all. So, he's the one that I think of is the closest to a new father for the second time, who can go back, and I mean, he's in it right now, you know. So anyway, just keep that in mind just for the future if you'd like to try and connect with him.
Thank you, Maria. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Anyone else out there with a last question? It is about 9:20, so I will go ahead and wrap us up if anyone else isn't there to introduce himself. Okay. With that, we will go ahead and start to wrap up. Thank you all so much for calling in. Thank you to Blake and Michael and
excuse me?
Yes. Hello?
Hello. Hi, sorry. We were just having some technical difficulties, but could I ask one more question?
Of course, please.
Do you or anyone else here ride a bike still?
Other than tandem?
Other than tandem, yeah, I heard that in the background.
Yes, I do.
Yes,
Wayne
does.
And Jim McRoy does too.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know that.
Could you?
I know there are people.
I ride a bike.
Someone else spoke up. They rode a bike too.
Yeah, I ride a bike. My children help guide me some.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, one time they forgot to tell me when to cross the street and stuff. That's the only bad thing is when they forget that. Oh yeah, Mom can't tell when the light's green. I'm like, thanks, guys.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, because people do tend to forget. You know, hello, still here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there is a lot of tandem riding, but you know, Wayne, do you want to explain really quickly how you go about doing that? Since you're,
I just always rode a bike as a kid, of course. And, lost my vision and when I was 21 and then didn't get serious again until 1997. I bought a new bike, started riding a little bit with my friends on the Seno Canal up in Maryland on the towpath, and I just would follow behind them.
I just got a missed call.
I think we're hearing someone in the background.
And so, but then I bought another bike in 2005, and then I pretty much rode every day since then, or close to it. And I've had accidents before. Sort of go slow. Sometimes I go too fast, I guess. But have problems at the lights. I have to go down to the traffic lights, and you can't see people turning right on red. You can't see which way they're looking, so I have to be careful about that. And then sometimes instead of going in front of them, I go behind them and just have to be cautious.
Yeah, exactly. I think one thing I would kind of advice would give for you if you want to continue riding your bike, which I certainly encourage, if you kind of seek out an orientation and mobility specialist there, and I think it was Blake's last question, so in San Diego, I would bring up the fact that you want to continue riding your bike. I know my orientation and mobility specialist kind of talked to me some about that. They certainly would be willing to talk to you about it. A lot of those lessons can be catered to your unique needs. So if that's something you're going to do anyway, they will kind of talk to you about the best ways to do it and things that may benefit you. And they're experts, but at the same time, all of Wayne's advice about going slow and crossing at lights and all of that, that's obviously all very important, and we'd encourage you to be safe, but at the same time, we want you to live your life and do all the things you can do.
Hey Blake.
Yeah.
Did Blake ask a question about the bike? Two years ago, I rode 80 miles to the shore for MS, and it wasn't on a tandem, and I can't ride a bike by myself. And a guy from work, no pun intended, took me on blind faith, and he wore fluorescence from head to toe, and he had another friend that was behind him, me, you know, and sometimes he'd take over. He was wearing fluorescence, and they would give voice commands to me, and I stayed right on his rear tire with both hands on brakes, and I went 80 miles, and I have about, I guess my vision is like 20/700, and I was in packs of people at times, certain times. It was very well organized, and they said I could not get the smile off my face. It was a rush. And if these people on either side of me knew how bad my sight was, they would have, like, they had no idea. And it was kind of nuts, but it was, like, the coolest thing I ever did in my life. And it was just awesome, absolutely awesome. I loved it. I want to do it again.
That sounds awesome. Thank you for that.
When there's a will, there's a way.
All right, see you in a while.
Yeah, of course. It sounds like if you were getting in the car. So we will go ahead and take the opportunity to wrap up again. If someone does want to pick up with the last question, I'm not going to stop you. But, again, thank you all for calling in. Thank you for the newcomers. Thank you for the people who've been here on lots of calls. For everyone who shared advice and for everyone who had questions, we really appreciate it. These calls are for you. They're not for us. So if you have any questions that you'd like answered in future calls or questions you'd like answered immediately, feel free to always email us at lhonlive@gmail.com, and we will get back to you as quickly as possible. In addition, if you'd like to be a guest speaker or share your story or just kind of talk for a while on any of our future calls, we're happy to take you. You can email us at the same email address to give us that, or contact any of the three of us on Facebook at any point in time. Our next LHON Live call will be December 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We encourage everyone to continue calling. We hope you all enjoy the call tonight and are looking forward to the next call. But with that, we will go ahead and wrap up. So thank you all for calling this time, and we will look forward to next time.
Bye, everybody. Have a great rest of the
week.
Thank
you.
This conference will now be disconnected. Goodbye.